Hello, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of Two Girls, One Doc.
One Doc.
It's your girl, BD.
It is Forens the Foodie.
And we are back.
We back.
Today, we are doing a documentary called Hatton Garden, The Inside Story. You can find her on Netflix and also on YouTube. I will add the YouTube link to the show notes for those who do not have Netflix.
Yeah.
And just for context, Hatton Garden is a street in Holborn where there's like a bunch of jewellers. So that's the vibe.
That's where my husband got my ring from.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hatton Garden. What was he doing here?
No, he wasn't here. He organised it from here.
Hey, like, not international.
Yeah, but it was Hatton Garden. I only know because when I had to get it resized,
I had to go back there. To the same place.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Hatton Garden Nations. Oh. This is like, everyone knows about Hatton Garden. Like, it's just,
yeah, it's that place. It's Diamond District.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, the event in question happens after the Easter bank holiday in 2015. Okay. Mm. What is the event in question? £100 million is taken overnight. Okay, so imagine
diamonds.
Someone is sleeping. They wake up in the morning, stuff has gone missing. Okay, yeah. But don't fear, DS Jamie Day is on the case. Okay,
why would one ever fear when there's a British? They're gonna get us the hell out of here one day.
DS, what's DS? Detective Sergeant? Is that what it stands for?
Yeah.
What is the rankings? Do you know what the rankings are? I'm going to look at it.
Absolutely
I'm
not.
Right now. I'm going to
I only know American rankings because of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, and Law and Order Special.
Okay, cool. I've got it. Right, so. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have...
probably a copper.
Hold on. All right, so at the bottom, we have... I don't know how accurate this is. Oh, okay. So you have Metropolitan Police, City of London Police, UK Forces. Okay, that's long. We're going to just do Metropolitan Police. So you have Constable, yeah, which is like PC, yeah, I'm presuming. You have Sergeant. You have Inspector. Oh, this makes sense, actually. Then you have Chief Inspector, which I guess is DCI. Mm-hmm. Then you have Superintendent, which sounds like janitor. Then you have Chief Superintendent. Then you have Commander, which sounds like Commando. Then you have Deputy Assistant Commissioner, Deputy Commissioner, and then Commissioner. Okay, so we've had some technical difficulties. So I don't know where, what, who, what, where, what, how. But in any case, yeah, DS Detective Sergeant Jamie Day is on the case, okay? We see these crime scene photos. And like, they're trying to make it this massive thing. I mean, and I guess when £100 million goes missing, like that is a big deal, obviously. But I just feel like,
what's that,
it's just
thing
not that deep.
Beyonce said about being in the elevator, and I guess shit goes down when what, $1 billion is in the elevator or something.
And this ain't even that. So I'm just kind of like, I don't know, maybe because it's London. I'm just like, guys, people are dying. Like, this is just not that deep.
Kim, they're starving kids in Africa. Like, literally.
Like, I just, and also it's like, they're trying to make it this like dramatic, like, ooh.
Yeah,
like,
they're trying to make fetch happen. I'm sorry, I can
and it's
never,
not going to happen.
I can never feel bad for the rich losing some point. I can never.
Impossible. So we see this animation of how these guys get into a vault, right? Because basically, there's just a bunch of safety deposit boxes that they rob. And that's the premise of this whole robbery, yeah? So they go through the customer lift. They get to a point where there's these shutters. They force the shutters open, disable the alarms, and they're in. I just feel like you and I could have done this.
We should have done it.
And DCI Jamie Day is like, oh, even the alarm specialists were really shocked by how they did it. And it's like, can we all be serious here? Let's be so for real. Like, why are you, the specialist of alarms, yeah, shocked that these random guys were able to shut off the alarm? Like, the fact that they were able to do that, I just maybe look within and think,
there are things that we are not doing properly.
So in the end, they're not able to get through the vault door, so they blow a hole in the wall.
Fair enough. Lol. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Where there's a will, there's a motherfucking way. So in this vault, there are 999 security deposit boxes, okay? And they're able to target 70 of them, which I mean, I'm not a maths kind of guy, but like that just seems like a shit amount.
Yeah, it does. But I mean, when you get that much from it, then it's fine, isn't it?
I suppose. Yeah, true.
If you know that even if you target 5, you're going to walk away with like, what, 5 mil, for example.
Yeah.
Then you're Gucci. True. You cut your losses. Need... One time I said to my mum, you're Gucci. And she said, what about Fendi and Prada? And I was just like, hun. I say one time, this was like last weekend, I think it was.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
Yes, never a dull moment with her.
So I mean, do you know what? One thing I would have really appreciated with this. I mean, I get that like they had to blow holes in walls and stuff, yeah. But imagine if there was like no damage whatsoever, yeah. And then one day, maybe 3 months from now, they look in the safety deposit box and it's just empty.
You would have gone
with the wind fabulous. Like nobody would catch you.
Yeah, it's wishful thinking though. There was no way, but it would be, I mean, they'd need a real proper inside man to do that. Yeah, but that's true. But yeah, it would be oh, you just go to Cayman Islands, deposit everything there,
live your best fucking life. So this heist, quote unquote heist, took multiple nights. So the first night they go and they disable the alarm, okay? So the alarm sends a message to the security company. A guard does come and have a look, sees nothing, so reports it as a false alarm. The police, you would think, would go and be like, oh, let's just check everything out. They don't go. Shock, okay? At this point, it's clear to me that I am on the side of the thieves. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they use bleach to hide their DNA, contaminate the crime scene. Great, fine. Okay. Even the day that they chose to do it was brilliant because it was a bank holiday weekend. Yep. So it's not like anyone's really going to discover anything for a while. So the police are on the case. Yeah. They look at the CCTV around all the area. They see this white van. They go, ooh, these are the thieves on CCTV coming out the white van. And they're very conscious, the thieves are very conscious of the locations of the cameras. Like, you don't really see their faces, they hide themselves, that kind of stuff. But they enter the building with a key, which makes me think that they did have an inside man, or they had some way of getting the key to the building.
I mean, like, they said that it's never been discovered who that person was, but they definitely did. You need someone inside.
Yeah, exactly, to get the key. So the police take screenshots of CCTV and they put it out to the media. So they look at the footage, right? And they clock that the gang go in, but they come out with nothing. So they're like, okay, that's weird, because surely you do all of this, you're coming out with the goods, right? But then the next day on CCTV, they see them come out with like a bunch of stuff. So they're like, okay, cool. Something must have happened. And now they came back and then they were able to do what they need to do. Mm. And something does happen, and we get into that later. So at this point, on the CCTV footage is really, really clear.
Yeah, it's super clear considering the time.
So they see the thieves enter this white Mercedes with black rims and a black roof. And so they basically find out who owns this car.
Everyone and their mom had that Mercedes back then.
Bro. So the car belongs to what this police guy describes as an elderly male who turns out to be John Kenny Collins. And like, to me, he doesn't look elderly. He looks old. And I know that elderly means old. I know that. But like, he looks like he's like late 60s, early 70s. Mm. Like, he looks like he's probably had his cataracts done, or he's going to have his cataracts done soon. And he goes to play golf with his friends on Wednesdays. That's what he looks like.
Yeah, I think as your parents approach that ages, those ages as well, you don't see as old as you used to. Like, if you told me late 60s, getting younger, like 10 years ago, I'd have been like, that is old. But exactly. As you get, yeah.
And I think that because all my patients are basically this age, yeah, like, I see them, and I see a lot of them are like, they're proper with it. Like, they're living their life. They're retired. They go to Benidorm for 3 months. They come back. Like, they live their best life. They golf every Wednesday. Like,
they are.
And elderly to me connotes some kind of like illness.
Like, frailness.
Frailty, yeah. Along with your old age. And I was like, fam, like, I don't know. Like, no, he just looks old.
He just looks like an older gentleman.
Yeah. Like, but he looks like a geezer. Yeah, that's what he looks like.
Oh my God. So literally, when he came on the screen, I was like, this guy's a fucking geezer, yeah.
He is a geezer.
Guys, do you know what? This is the question of the week. Please, can you tell me how to explain to someone who doesn't, like, hasn't had, like, how do you explain to someone who doesn't didn't grow up in the UK what a geezer is. I was trying to explain it, but like he just, by he, I mean my husband, he just couldn't get it. Like he was like, I
a geezer,
tried to
it's like a lad.
It's a lad, but it's not, you can't just call anyone a geezer. Like I wouldn't call my dad a geezer.
No, but he's not a geezer. Yeah. It's like a wheeler dealer. Yeah, like a
that's what I was trying to.
Essex, North London-y kind of.
Like, have you watched Only Fools and Horses? No, like I couldn't.
They have that hat, the little hat. They walk a certain way.
Bro, like I was like, it's East, it's Cockney, it's East. Like he couldn't. Like yeah. I couldn't.
Yeah, because then what's your reference point? You're telling someone who grew up in Nigeria a geezer. He what?
Yeah, but it's something that you could liken it to. Because he was like, oh, is it like an Abaru? And I was like, no, because Abaru is different.
What would you liken it to?
That is what I'm saying. How do you explain it to someone?
Yeah, guys, you know on Spotify you can do the question replies. Please. Some of you have been doing that and we love it. We love it so much. If you can coherently
help
define
me help him.
Do you know what? Let's see what geezer's saying on the
I've already Googled on the internet. It just said it's a colloquial term for a man, which technically, yes, but you cannot call any and
yeah,
everyone
it says
a geezer.
It says, he strikes me as a decent geezer. No, it's, that's not it. That's not it.
It's not
it's
it.
Not just a man.
These lot are geezers. And then he was getting angry with me because he was like, oh, it doesn't matter what, these are hardened criminals. And I was like, yeah, they're criminals, but they're geezers. Like,
but they're geezers because there's all sorts of criminals. You can be a criminal and be a geezer. You can be a geezer and not a criminal.
Exactly. He was saying to are geezers criminals? And I was like, no, like you can be a criminal and be a geezer. Or you can be a criminal and not be a geezer. Or you can just
or you can
be
a geezer.
Geezer
and not a criminal.
Like,
or neither.
Literally. Oh, God. It was a very stressful evening.
Like what's his name? Their names, Pete and Bars. Yeah, they are geezers.
Yes, yes,
and not criminals, as far as I know, except they killed these bars. But other than that,
I love them. Didn't they go to prison?
I
though?
Love them so much. Oh, did they?
I thought one of them went to prison. Maybe
oh, well,
I'm mixing
that,
them up.
That goes my theory.
Either way, I love them so much.
Yeah, I love them too.
Imagine
they're
having uncles like that, or that being your granddad. Oh my God.
Oh my days. If that was my granddad. Oh my
I
days.
Know. Happy days.
No one could tell me anything
at all.
I'm bringing him to parents evening. I'm bringing him.
Fuck
I'm
a parent.
Everywhere.
I got a grandparent.
I'm bringing him everywhere. But yeah, no, they are geezers. That's a great. So Kenny Collins, they call him Kenny henceforth. But they introduce him as John Kenny Collins. But anyway, Kenny Collins turns out to be the first member of the gang to be identified. Weakest link. Okay. Mm. Meanwhile, before they discovered it was these old geezers. Yeah. They thought it was some young Serbian gang. Okay. Kenny, for context, is 74 years old. He's a granddad. He's a North London babe. And he's also here with us in this documentary. Mm. Okay. He is giving Ray Trapani because he's like,
it's a living. Being a criminal is a living, isn't it? It's what you do for a living. Like you feel, it's what you do.
He's like, it's a job.
He's like, this is the, like, I don't understand what you don't understand. Yeah. I'm a criminal. It's what I do. It's who I am.
Literally, you've got your 9 to 5.
And then he says to the
I've
filmmaker,
got my criminal activities.
He says to the filmmaker, it's like you filming me right now. Like it's a living. It's what I do.
And fair fucking enough.
And fair enough.
And fair enough. I was just fair trying to enough. Watch this and I was laughing and my husband was like, oh, do you think that it's right to say that it's a way of life? I said nigga, I don't care, this is funny, these are old ass men, like,
and the thing is,
let me laugh and this, let me enjoy
and
things
the thing, let me enjoy myself. And the thing that I really appreciate about this year is that they didn't let their age stop them from being who they are.
Exactly.
I do think that, like, in society you get old and you kind of fade into oblivion. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you're expected to just all of a sudden not want to do the things mm-hmm. that you've been doing your whole life. And obviously crime is wrong and I don't endorse this, okay, but I do like the fact that they were able to just continue being who they are.
You're a criminal
into
keep,
their old
keep
age
doing that. Don't let your age stop you from the criminal activities
life.
That you were doing when you were young. I'm not advocating
exactly.
anyone be a criminal.
No,
but,
don't do that.
But if that's who you are, then live your truth. Don't let your age stop you. Don't get a day job because you're 60.
Don't retire because you're 65.
Do you know what's so funny? We're talking about this whole going to war, yeah. And my dad's like, I'm not going to fight any war, blood war. And I was like, bro, like, they wouldn't
didn't ask you.
First of all, they wouldn't even, like, you're 60.
You're getting drafted, babe.
You're not getting
drafted.
It's the minimum age is like 41. Like, hun, you are so far removed from even
the maximum age.
Like, you're considered geriatric. It's okay. No one's asking you. Don't worry.
No one's asking you. It's okay.
You've already been dishonorably discharged before you've joined. It's okay. Like, can you imagine?
Not even honorably.
How can you get all hyped up for something nobody was going to ask you to come to anyways? Like,
So this Kenny guy is prolific, okay? He has been to prison many times for many serious offences, such as organised crime. This guy has been about this life since 1960. But at least the
crime was organised. Come on. Yeah. You don't want haphazard. I do have a certain respect
for an organised crime.
I do, because syndicate. It takes all the things to run a normal business. It's just they're not
channeling. It's a business, yeah. It's just not legal. Yeah,
it takes a lot. You have to keep your books. You have to pay many people. You have
exactly. You have to employ. You have to organise, manage. And the thing is, just so that there's no confusion here, we're not advocating for crime, okay? We don't support crime. But what we do support is organization and, you know, treating employees well and successful businesses.
What I will say is, you know, I wouldn't even say it. No, it's not that I'm a criminal. Let me put that out there. It's just that...
I don't think anybody thinks that you're a criminal. Okay.
It's just that this particular crime... I mean,
it's like the art fraud one. Yeah, I'm not mad at you. Cry in fact, I support
river.
You.
Cry me a fucking river.
Yeah.
And do you know what? After watching Gucci, House of Gucci with Lady Gaga and whatever, I don't even like that guy, that Domenico, whatever his name was.
Who?
He's the one who, he's that rich guy from the art fraud case that had his...
Oh, that got.
Yeah. But in House of Gucci... He's the person that basically takes the Gucci, like the House of Gucci from the Gucci family.
Oh, he dupes so
that guy they get. Have you watched it?
Mm-mm.
He dupes the last remaining Gucci member, family member that owned it before he was killed.
Oh, so what went around came around. The tables turned.
The turntables turned, as Michael Scott says. The turntables turned.
Matting. But back to Kenny. Kenny was the driver and the lookout in this particular job, yeah? So police are surveilling Kenny and they clocked him that he meets this guy called Brian Reeder.
Mm.
Also, sorry, these are hardened criminals, quote unquote. Why are you not aware that you're being surveilled? And this becomes so much more evident later on because it's like, why aren't you aware of your surroundings?
The way British police officers do anything.
Like, they did the bare minimum and they caught you.
It probably wasn't inconspicuous.
Bro. So Kenny and Brian meet in prison. Brian's also prolific. He is a criminal, okay? He was involved in this 1983 gold robbery. A policeman was killed and Reeder was found standing next to the body, but he was found not guilty. So the police are kind of like, oh, well, you know, one of our own. This puts a barrier in their back to kind of like get him or whatever. Okay, cool, whatever. So remember that on the Friday they went in, they came out empty-handed. Then the Saturday they went in, they came out handed, yeah. So turns out that their plan was to knock over the safety deposit cabinets because they're stacked out real high in like cabinets, right? But they didn't realize that these cabinets weren't just like freestanding, they were bolted to the ceiling and the floor. Yeah. So that plan didn't work. Okay. After that, Brian is like, you know what, fuck this, I'm not doing this, I'm not going back, like we need to stop because this isn't going to plan. And the others are like, fuck you, you're a pussy, I'm gonna continue.
Yeah.
And Brian is like, no, this is when mistakes get made, is when things don't go to plan.
Yep.
And I'm here with Brian because stick things didn't go to plan and that's why we're here.
Corey was right. Tori.
Fam.
Tori?
Corey.
Troy.
No, Troy was Zac Efron.
Yeah. So it was Troy.
What was... It was a... What's his name? Corbin Blue.
Yeah, I've forgotten his name.
What's his name?
I couldn't tell you.
What was his name? No, I'm going to find it. It's going to piss me off. Corbin Blue...
You could have just done high school. It would have shown you the cast members at the bottom.
I don't even say.
Okay.
Do you know yet? Someone tweeted that movie was released 18 years ago.
Oh, I don't want to hear stuff like that.
Chad. His name was Chad.
Was it Chad?
Yeah, sure? I was never going to get that. Yeah, Chad Danforth.
That is such a white... How did... God, that was a different time.
It was a different time.
Chad, and then the Monique's name was Taylor.
Yeah, yeah. I think they just wrote the characters and then they said, okay, you'll do.
Yeah.
I don't think they named them based on...
There's no way. We are not letting a black guy be called Chad in any movie.
But if you're a black guy called Chad, just make yourself known.
Yeah.
Oh, just comment. To prove us wrong.
Yeah. No, Chad is the quintessential... And it's a specific kind of white guy that's called Chad. It's like the white guys whose dads like buy them into like Ivy League schools that are called Chad.
But I mean, ironically, Chad is a country in Africa. So if anyone should be called Chad.
I mean, yeah.
Because
it's like Chadwick Bartholomew the Sixth. And then they like
Chadwick Boseman.
They summer in Yeah, but nobody calls him Chad. So you
the wick,
see,
the wick is necessary.
The wick is very necessary with him because I never even associated the fact that his name was Chad.
Yeah, it just came to me now. Yeah,
and now I'm saying it sounds like the country. So everything is just messed up in my brain. Is spaghetti bolognese, but okay,
spaghetti bolognese.
But yeah,
High School Musical came out 18 years ago.
I don't want to hear this stuff.
No, but the thing is that it did.
It's just like somebody posted, like, oh, a Pillow Talk, Zayn Malik came out 8 years ago. But no, it didn't, because it came out yesterday.
Pillow Talk? I don't remember that.
It's his first.
What a Pillow Talk? Gucci, Prada, man. Oh, what a Pillow Talk?
It's the one that, been the pain, been the pleasure. Nobody but you, nobody but me. Are you there? Ready
oh,
together.
I've heard that song.
Yeah, of course you've heard it. 8 years ago. I don't like hearing stuff like that. Because we are now old enough. Like somebody was saying that, oh, when someone says, oh, 1993, it says 30 years ago. My mind is like, oh, what, like the 70s? Automatically, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, the 70s. But no,
I saw,
that was
no, it's true.
1990s.
Because there was a patient today, date of birth was like 1952. And I was like, oh, he's got to be what, like 50?
Bro. I was one day listening to a podcast.
He's 70.
And they were like, oh, like 60s. And I was like, oh, okay, so what, he's probably about like 40 something now. And like when they were saying his age, the math wasn't I had to pull over and get my calculator out because my brain was confusion. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's only gonna get worse.
Are now old enough to say, oh, something happened 25 years ago. And
we're old enough for them to do a Mean Girls remake, please. And that is someone's first time or first experience of Mean Girls.
We're old enough now for something to have happened 20 years ago and we have vivid memories of it.
Grown memories.
As in vivid. Can you fucking imagine 20 years ago?
When did that happen? I don't understand.
Because when my parents talk about,
I don't,
when they, like 20 years ago, I automatically think, oh, it must have been when you guys were in uni and secondary school. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
We're stuck in the past.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I'm happy there. So I shall never leave him. So now it's the 23rd of April, 2015. All of this happened on the 4th, well, from the 4th of April. Mm. And they are still surveilling Collins. They also offer, this bit I loved, because they're offering a £20,000 reward for info. And much like us, no one is taking this seriously, okay? We meet this guy, he's a talking head called Duncan Campbell. He's an author and crime correspondent, and he explains why the general public don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I think there was a certain amount of sneaking sympathy for them. I think the main reason was the age of the protagonists, these old boys in their 70s still trying to carry out the perfect crime, and the fact nobody was injured, and also that, rightly or wrongly, people don't have an enormous amount of sympathy for people with safe deposit boxes.
These old men just robbed rich people, and we actually don't care because we have real problems.
Yep.
Like, we don't know where our next meal is coming from. Our mortgage has gone up by 50%. And we don't really know how we are going to live. And you're telling me, boo-hoo, ooh, your chain got stolen. Like, can you get a grip?
They jacked your chain. Like, BFFR.
BFFR.
We didn't talk about the fact that the documentarian for this documentary was
Phil
Ross Mitchell's Kemp. Brother. Okay.
Yeah, it's Ross Kemp, innit?
What's his name? Ian Mitchell.
No, it was Ian Beale.
Okay, and Phil Mitchell.
It was Phil Mitchell and Phil and, I keep saying, I think it's going to come. Barry, no, that was the one that got killed.
Barry was one that was killed by Janine.
Phil Mitchell. Phil, what was his name? Gary. Hold on, let's check. Phil Mitchell, brother. Grant.
Yeah, it was Grant.
That's it.
It was Grant.
Yeah, Grant. See, that's a geezer as well.
That is a geezer.
That's a geezer in all.
In all.
As a geezer would say. So, I mean, we do get a bit about the impact of the crime. And less on, like, the rich people who lost stuff, which I guess they did. But more on, like, the family-run businesses who had to shut down because of the robbery, like, lost their pensions and stuff. And like one guy is like, oh, you know, they may not have had insurance. But then also I'm like, that's dumb to me. Because if you're dealing with stuff like that, like, you have insurance and you should be okay.
And it's a hell of a lot of money. It's not like a couple grand. Like, it's a
lot of
money. Get insurance.
So I can muster up some empathy for people whose businesses were affected. Like, I get that. But ultimately, like, I'm not sad for people who lost a bunch of money, as in so much money that they could leave it in a safety deposit box.
Yep.
Like, I just feel that if I had that kind of money, crimes.
Trust me, it would be with me, because I'm gonna need it.
It'd be with her at all times. At all times. So at this point, the police are still trying to find the perpetrators, as well as the stuff that was stolen, because they have none now. They're still following Kenny. They see Kenny leads them to more guys. Kenny leads them to Terrence Perkins and Daniel Jones. Jones is a young babe. He's like 50, yeah. And again, another career criminal, which this is not surprising. Like, obviously, career criminals are going to chill with career criminals. Like they're all career criminals.
Yeah, they're going to...
These are their associates. Yeah. They're colleagues. So... Kenny has nothing nice to say about Daniel Jones. It doesn't rate him at all.
Kenny has nothing nice to say about anyone.
Kenny, I don't even know how they got him to be here, to be honest. But Terrence Perkins, he was involved again in a massive bank robbery in the 80s. He went to jail for 22 years, okay?
They Police are get peers, lead. Like they're colleagues, they're peers. They're...
Yeah, they're colleagues. Yeah, they were all involved in like similar things.
Yeah.
And if you're going away for so long, like you come out, what are you going to do? You're going to resume.
Literally, because you're not, what else are you going to do?
What are you also going to do? You're going to find out what's the crack and you're going to keep pushing. You know? So police get a lead because of these like pumps that they used during the robbery to like break into stuff. At this point, we're in May. It's been a month since the burglary. Police know the identities of four of the guys, but there's still two left. We see this footage of three of the gang on... okay, so here is the hidden camera, okay? These guys are at a pub, probably Weatherspoons, yeah? They're at a pub, okay? And... they are sitting together, openly discussing the crime. The footage is so clear. It looks like it was taken on my iPhone today, okay? And they just look like old men chilling, yeah? But the policeman who's undercover, quote unquote, I don't know how undercover, he could have been anybody, is sat with what is a hidden camera, how hidden, we don't know, facing them. And we can see, so we can't hear them, but we can see them, lips and all. And they get, the police get a lip reader, a professional lip reader to transcribe it. Without the transcription, you can see what they're saying.
Why must they have had this conversation in public?
This is what I don't understand. Are you guys all homeless?
Could you not go to each other's houses and chat? Like, this is not chat for the Weatherspoons.
For the timeline. All of the interactions, yeah. The only reason they found who was who and what was where, who, what, where, what, where, yeah, was because all these interactions were happening in public. This chat was happening in broad daylight, my brother.
It is not chat for the timeline. And that also goes to Miss Mamas, who is on the timeline currently. By the time this comes out, it would have
She
been,
might still be tweeting.
She
who
might
knows?
Still, fuck, she's on a like 4-day bender, isn't she? Coked up.
She might still be going, fam, because I don't know.
Nah, but you... Anyways. Oh,
yeah, we'll save that for another episode.
I could say so much.
Anyway, let's move on. So...
I just have so much... Okay.
Someone said that if she keeps moving like this, her husband won't be allowed around her.
Yeah, because she's childish.
You're childish?
I actually have not... Like, do you know when somebody says, like, oh, like, the architect of your own downfall. This woman has, like, she built it herself.
Architect part one, part two, part three.
This is your like, legacy. Sis, now yeah, the white wild. Media is posting about how your husband is a rapist.
When the white media start caring.
And that is what your legacy will always be.
It's so sad because how'd you come back from this?
You can't. I just hope Megan doesn't respond.
Yeah.
It's hope.
Same. There's no need. Because it's like, anyway. So why are they having this conversation in public? You are asking the same question. Me, I don't have the answers.
They're homeless.
Okay. So the police bug their cars and they start to hear the gang unfold.
Just knowing UK police, bugging of the cars wouldn't have been some covert like operation. They probably would have just stuck something like in
under the car.
I just think like, yeah. I mean, if you're going to do this, do it well. That's what I will say. What pissed me off. They didn't do it well.
And then I think to myself, did they ever do it well? Because I was like, oh, maybe in their old age, they lost a bit of, you know, blah, blah, boom. But then you, they've one of them was in jail so for 22 times. Years. They've been caught, yeah. As in, for you to be prolific, for you to have a record, you've been caught. You're not great at this, yeah. The real criminals, the successful ones, we don't know.
We don't know where they are, who they are, what they've done.
Exactly. So we're hearing the gang unfold. They're all bitching about each other. This is Andrew and Ray Trapani 50 years from now, yep. Yeah. From the bugs, we hear about Carl Wood, okay? Carl Wood was one of the gang. Mid-operation, he goes, fuck this, and he goes home, yeah? So Brian has said, fuck this. Carl has said, fuck this. So the gang are two men down, Okay, and this is another reason why I can't do this kind of crime, because there's too many cooks in the kitchen.
If I was doing it, me and one person max,
and that one person, they have to, like, maybe I have something over on them so that they can't change their minds, because I can't. This is too much trust.
There are too many variables.
Too many variables that I can't control. I'm not here with it. Yeah. So Brian and Carl, they fucked off. You've got Terrence, Daniel, Kenny, and this other guy, yeah, that are left, and like they're not happy.
The biggest robbery in history. That's what they're saying. And Brian walking away. That's it. And he thinks he's the gov.
They're kind of bitching about Brian. Oh, Brian's walking away. He thinks he's the gov. He's lost 1.6 mil. And Kenny is kind of like, oh, do you know what? Like, I kind of want to give Brian some of the money because he did plan everything. And everyone else is like, fuck you and fuck him. Like, nah, we're not giving him anything.
And these are their mates.
And this is what I'm saying. Is they're just career criminals. And obviously, if you are chilling with these kind of people, yeah, you know what kind of person you are, what kind of people they are, because you are all the same. Yeah. You don't trust each other. Of course you don't.
Yeah.
Like, of course you don't. So we finally get into the last guy involved. He's this guy called Basil. No brush. And he is the one that got the key to the safety deposit building, but the police can't find him.
Anyway.
And at this point, I'm team Basil, okay? Basil has even worn a wig to the crime, yeah?
He's so the only initially, one that has the most...
Any sense. And he wore a wig that was ginger. So when they were like showing it to the public, they were like, oh, he's ginger kind of thing. I rate it, yeah? This is a man who's dedicated to his craft, mm-hmm. okay? And I can respect that, yeah? So now the thieves have the stuff that they stole. The next step is to figure out how to store it before divvying it up, yeah? Kenny's wife has gone away for the bank holiday. And so the stuff is at his house and he wants it all gone before she gets back.
Because she knew nothing of this. Can you imagine?
She knew nothing of it, so they say. So he gives some of it to his brother-in-law, he gives it to someone else, and the rest of it they bury in Edmonton Cemetery. I'm sorry, why are you at places that I recognize? Like, why is this happening?
But imagine you go see your loved one and you find like hella diamonds.
I would say God has sent
a miracle.
But if you found that, like, I always think, if I found a duffel bag full of money, would I take it? And in my head, I'm like, oh, yeah, of course I would. But I'm like, no, I don't know, because it seems like it comes with a lot of trouble.
It depends on how much is in there.
If there was like just stacks of cash, like notes in there, I might just take a couple. Yeah. And then maybe like a layer, and then so it doesn't look like it's been touched.
Because they're not going to, say there's like 20 grand somewhere and you take like five. No one's going to chase you down for that five.
But they might not notice that the five was gone.
Yeah.
I'm thinking less about the amount and more about the arrangement of it.
Of course,
in the bag.
Yeah. So like if there's a lot, fine. But if there's not, then like sometimes you go to bathrooms and obviously people are doing drug transactions and then there's money at the back. It's like £500. You're not going to take that. But like if I saw a duffel bag and there was a lot, then I'm going to take the top layer.
Yeah, I hear
Treat
that.
Treat
yourself 2011. 6 weeks after the robbery, Kenny sends his daughter on holiday so that he can use her house to split the loot. I'm sorry,
does
I wish
anyone
want to
split the loot in my house?
Does anybody want to split the loot in my house? Because I'm happy to be sent away. I am.
I beg of you, split it.
And leave a bracelet somewhere.
Split it.
So the police rush the home and 12 other locations. We see the footage of this. There's like a million of them. I'm like, can we be serious?
These are old men. Elderly, as you said.
Did we need all of them? Like, did we need all these people?
They're not like flipping, I don't know. But whatever it is you think they are, they're not that.
They're not that. But they recover a lot of loot, so great for them. Basil's the only one who's not arrested in the raids. Again, team Basil. Mm. Everyone pleads guilty. They all get 7 years, except for Brian Reeder, who gets 6 years and 3 months, which is basically 7 years. So now we get into how they caught Basil, and they seem to be really proud of this. Like, they keep it at the end of the documentary as if, like, oh, wow, like, let's reveal how we caught
when
this mastermind.
When they revealed it, I was like, you guys should have shame. Bring back shame. Because this
Bring
was
it back.
Only, it wasn't giving what you thought it was giving.
Bring it back and keep it here. So they look at I think it's Kenny, one of the gang, meets with someone regularly and they find who they think is this Basil guy, right? His name is Michael John Seed. He doesn't use phones. He doesn't have a vehicle. So all the ways that they, you know, caught the other guys didn't work on him because Michael John Seed, he has a brain. Yeah, he's off the grid. So they spend, in the documentary, they spend a lot of time going over this, but basically Basil slash Michael walks in a certain way, and they're like, oh yeah, he walks in this way, it must be him. They get a search warrant and they find the stolen goods that can be traced back to the robbery. He's arrested, he pleads not guilty, and he gets jailed for 10 years. They take a long time to go through this.
And that is really what it was. But that's all that really happens.
And honestly, if the goods weren't at his house, like if they couldn't find the goods at his house, I'm sure that he would be free.
Yeah, 100%.
But he's probably coming out now, because this happened in 2015, and he got 10 years. So he's probably like on his way out, if he's not out already.
They haven't recovered everything. Do you think that they have some other stuff stashed away? To be honest, if they have any brains, then
they should do.
If you stash some away in a place that can never be found, and you go to prison, you come out, nobody can, like, do you know what I mean? You just...
Yeah, but they're probably watching you for it, anyway. They're probably not here. But yeah, I mean, maybe. Mm. I don't know. But if they were that good, then why would they have been caught with some of it, you know?
Yeah.
So at the end, we get on-screen text. Terrence Perkins died in 2018. Danny Jones was still in jail when this came out in 2019. Brian and Kenny are fighting proceedings to recover millions under the Proceeds of Crime Act. 2 months after being found guilty, Michael Seed asked for leave to appeal against his conviction and sentence, and only a third of the 14 million stolen had been recovered. Wait, I thought there was 100 million that was stolen.
I don't understand the whole thing of playing for relief. Were they asking for money? The two that...
I don't.
Yeah.
No, maybe like paying back what they took.
Oh.
Like restitution. Is that what that is? Maybe. I don't know. By this point, I was like, okay, you know. It was nice to see Ross Kemp, but he didn't really do anything special here.
No, he didn't. It wasn't his... greatest.
I put that the doc wasn't anything to write home about, but I like the representation of old people in crime, which
I
is true.
I liked the geezeration of
love. Geezeration, holleration and dancery. I really get on with geezers at work. I guess it's because I'm at work and like there's a certain level of I trust you trust me kind of thing. But yeah, they're good, they're great banner. But now it's time for
the real crime. I think was the beard.
Our segment where we focus on something during the documentary that may not be criminal, but we definitely consider to be a crime. Have you got one?
It's the fact that they couldn't tell for a really long time that ginger hair was a wig.
It was a wig.
Like, you guys are the police. You have all, like, the technology at your whatever, and you're going around reporting that this was a ginger guy.
But you know what?
Next thing, they're arresting Ed Sheeran for what?
I'm tired of you. I am. I quit.
Be careful with these accusations.
I had to. The real crime, I think, was that there were 999 security deposit boxes and like not 1,000. Like, why not just make it 1,000?
Yeah, that
rude.
Pisses me off.
And then the real crime, I think, was that the team investigating this whole thing was called the Flying Squad. And I was just like, guys...
You can tell this is all they've ever dreamt of. And
is it like Blazing Squad was taken? So you were like, yeah, we're the Flying Squad.
Love it. Listen, whatever makes you happy.
Whoever makes you do your job, cool, whatever. Who am I? Who am I to judge?
Who am I?
So next we're doing a credits episode. It's not a documentary. We're just going to be talking about stans. Yep. And that's all I'll say on that.
So I will say week. A lot more.
Come back
next
week so we can discuss what we believe is a mental illness, and I'm sure we'll be diagnosed as one in the upcoming years, because
I definitely think so. I don't think let me keep going.
Because there is anyway, we'll talk about it.
And it's a mental illness on both sides, the stans themselves and the celebrities who
feed off.
It's a mental illness for sure. For sure.
And I really hope that their treatment is discovered, because it's
yeah, it's if people want to be treated, that's the question.
Well, there you go.
There it is.
All right. Well, till next time. And what's it? Socials.
Oh, yes.
Two Girls One Doc, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok is Two Girls One Doc Podcast. Email us at twogirlsonedoc@gmail.com. You can write a review. You can rate us on Spotify and Apple. and wherever you listen. And if you have a question or want to ask something or say something, you can do that on Spotify right now. I'll put all the episodes we've referenced and all the other stuff in the show notes, so you can check that out too. Anything you would like to add, beloved?
No, just make sure you leave comments on Spotify because we really enjoyed them.
Yeah, they're really fun.
Yeah.
You are zoned out. Look at you, not even blinking.
Yeah, I was completely zoned out there.
Yeah, I'm so hungry. I'm going to go eat. Oh, my days. I went to the gym today, yeah? And like, I don't know what it is about my gym, but sometimes I go and there's just like a bunch of children. Not children as in like kids, but children as in like, they must be in secondary school.
Oh, yeah, I get
maybe
that.
First year of college. No, it's definitely secondary school because today there was one guy in his school uniform.
Fucking hell, mate.
I said, and you know me, like, I look young and I don't want them to think that I'm one of them. Like, I'm a big woman, please. Let's not loop us all together in this category.
Side, I stand on this side.
I was on the other. But yeah, they all come like all together. So like when one of them is on a machine, they're all just standing around the machine while they're on it. And I'm just like, okay, this is great. I love this for you. I wish I had started earlier. But like, why are you in your school uniform, bro?
Were they working out in their uniform?
Yes.
No.
Yes. That he has to wear tomorrow.
They are going to be... That's why teenage boys are smelly. They're generally, as a rule of thumb, smelly. But to be fair, like, there was one day in the gym, I saw this guy in jeans. It was like the early January where the New Year, New Me lot were like...
You being a snob.
No, and I was like, I cannot wait for you lots to get this out of your system and leave the gym for those of us that are going to be here, like...
That are trying to be here.
For the whole year.
I saw this family that came. It was like an auntie or uncle, and then like the boy must have been like maybe like 14 or something. And like, they all came together, and I thought it was so cute. Like,
worst nightmare.
They'll all be like on the treadmill together. And then they're all like, go to the... I was like, you lot are so cute. I don't see them anymore. But like, it was...
I went with my sister. My mom was like, oh, I'm going to come with you guys. And I was just thinking that.
Oh, girl.
Girl, next thing you said, oh, my knee. I can't do this one. Nah, sis. Nah.
I don't know why I even took her. I didn't take her. From my mom.
She said she wanted to come. But thank God it was a pipe dream.
Why didn't you just put her on the treadmill while you do your workout?
I think she needs to do like more though. I don't... Yeah.
But you have to pace yourself.
And this treadmill is not... But even if you're going to pace yourself, treadmill's not where to start.
But I feel like it's comfortable because it's intuitive.
Yeah,
like you're just walking.
Yeah, it's comfortable. But to be fair, we have a treadmill at... They have a treadmill... We have a treadmill at home, my parents' house. Mm-hmm. And they've got weights. They've got everything. They've got like a home gym. I don't know. I think she just keeps thinking if she changes location, she's going to be on it.
Maybe that's what she needs.
But you have a home gym. Like, just do it there. So
maybe that's what she needs.
I can't go to
feel motivated.
Her, man. I can't. Even my sister, and my sister's a gym girlie, but she's like a home workout girlie. And she was like, oh, I kind of can't keep up with you. And I was like, I bet you can.
Oh, is this what you... Oh, you brought this up to tell us that you're... Okay,
oh,
cool,
guys,
great,
I'm
yeah.
a gym girlie
What
now.
Humble brag.
I'm a gym... Even, like, a gym girlie messaged me, was like, you're a gym girlie now. I was like, oh, my God.
No,
you.
But I feel like something has clicked. Because did you feel this way before your wedding? Like, did it click? I feel like for you, you've always done, like, diets and fad diets and, oh, what's the quick way? But I feel like now, something in your mind... And I feel the same way. Like, something in my mind has clicked.
Yep.
And I'm just like, it doesn't really matter what I feel like. I'm telling you, this TikTok, that TikTok of the girl who was like, oh, so you don't feel like going to gym today, did I ask you how you feel? I'm telling you, when I am in bed and I'm like, oh, I really don't feel like going, I hear her voice in my head and I'm like, no one asked you how you feel, sis. Even today on the way home from work, I finished work late, there's bed delays, I wore my gym stuff after work and I went to go and pick up my man from the station, drop him at home, and I was like, I'm home now, I might as well just like go gym another day. And I was like, girl, you said you were going gym today, you were going
nothing
gym today.
Nothing stops me from going to gym, but I haven't had those, oh, I don't really want to be here days yet. But I've had days where I'm not as on it. But when I get there, I'm like,
I had cramps. Yeah. I had period cramps. And I was like, yeah, I'm going gym. And after that, I said, okay, well, I can do anything
I can do anything. There was one day that I went and I saw these guys. It was the day someone asked me how to use a machine. I was like, no fucking way. Like, I've made it. I'm fucking there. Or it's like when you'll go immediately after a guy and he's used a machine and his weights are like much lower than yours. And you're like, yeah. These niggas is my sons. This bitch.
But no, I love it for you. I'm really happy. I feel like it's been really good for my discipline. 2024
It's
going really, really well. How is your joy 2024 going?
Do you know what? This week, it's just a bit like work was kind of like pissing me off. So I was kind of like, but then I haven't fallen off on prayers a bit. So I need to get back and
get back
I
on
think
it.
I'll be feeling good. Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah. just work. It's just fucking work. But yeah.
And the thing is that you have to do it. You do you know what I mean?
To do it. I worked this weekend.
Huh?
Yes.
What?
On Saturday.
You don't work on weekends?
On Saturday, I was sending back and forth and people responding. And I literally was like to my mum, yeah, in the long run, yeah, this podcast needs to blow because I can't.
That would just be, but the thing is, it would just be working a different way. You'll still be sending emails on
Saturdays. But then I'm doing my own shit and I'm happy.
Fair.
I'm deriving joy. I'm not doing it and thinking, ain't nobody paying me for this shit on a Saturday. Yeah. Nobody cares.
Did you see that TikTok? Yeah.
Where the woman was like, 8 o'clock.
Yes. Okay, let's give context for anyone who hasn't seen it. But basically, the woman was saying like, oh, her Gen Z employee was supposed to come for an 8 a.m. meeting. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, I'm not coming. I have a workout class. And then he stitched it and was like, yeah, I have a workout class. And I'm contracted from 9 to 5. Are you paying me for the mm-hmm. extra hour? Am I finishing earlier? Are you going to give me, if you give me a week's notice, then I would have.
I don't understand. And I'm not going to mention a specific generation, but I think we can all deduce. I don't understand the horniness for work.
Yeah.
I really wish I could delve into the psyche of people that are so horny for their jobs. Like, I understand a duty and I also understand like wanting to do something and do it well. I get all of those things. Like, I really do. But there's this line where it's like it goes from duty and wanting to do things well to being horny for work. And people that are horny for work are people that like they don't understand you wanting work-life balance.
Boundaries.
They mm-hmm. don't understand the fact that your work finishes at a certain time, so you're going to log off at a certain time. They don't understand, like, I don't want to come into this office if it's not serving me. Like, mm-hmm. being horny for work is you want to be in every day by
all... Like a job's worth, innit?
And I'm just like, I've never been, as much as I've been in jobs where I've loved it, I've loved people, I've never been horny for work.
Yeah, but it's because you have other things. Like, to me, yeah, your work, your career, your job is just that. It's your job. It is a part of who you are. It's not even a part of who you are. It's part of what you do, really. Like, who you are is not determined by your job. That's like, you know, when you meet someone first and they're like, oh yeah, this, like, I do this, or I'm this, or they ask, oh, what do you do? It's like, bro, who are you outside of what pays your bills? Do you get what I mean? Like, is there nothing more to you? What do you like? Who are you? What excites you? Like, this guy was saying, look, I care about my health. And so I prioritize that. Yeah. So I'm going to go to a workout class because that's not, you cannot control the hours besides your 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, I just really hope that as the generations die off, so does that mindset of like, everything work. Because I think that like, especially Gen, I was talking to my sister about this. I felt like especially Gen Z have seen that this like being horny for work and this like loving the whole work thing, it doesn't really reward you. Like, it doesn't really serve you.
I think millennials
you. Like,
are the last generation of people who are willing to be at servitude. Like, genuinely, when you speak to Gen...
Yeah, that's it.
Literally, when you speak to Gen Z, they don't give a fuck.
And why should they? Because what are they doing it for? They will work all their lives. They can't buy a house. They can barely go on a holiday. They can't do shit.
These CEOs and whatever's are not ready for the new emerging workforce because...
Oof. Yeah. And I hope they give it to them, man. I can't lie. I hear it. I hear it every single time. What do you mean? I'm here early and my hours are from that. So,
and as long as, like, for me, nothing is critical because it's not open heart surgery.
Yeah.
There's actually nothing that critical. It's like you'll be in a meeting that goes on till like 6 and then they'll be giving you actionable tasks for that very day. And you're like, I'm already outside of my working hours.
This is overtime at this point.
This is overtime, but it's not overtime this. And then people do this their whole lives to get small increments of salary increases. And then,
which are still pay cuts because inflation is not keeping up with inflation. So you're still being underpaid.
And then people say, oh, you should, if you really want to work here. And it's like, bro, nobody wants to work anywhere. Everyone's doing it for money. Don't make it seem like a dirty thing because somebody's...
Yeah, exactly. And they make it seem like a family. We all make sacrifices.
Oh,
no.
I hate that.
No.
I hate that.
I have a family.
Have a family. This is not a family. Like, don't say it's a family because you...
We are a family.
You lot don't care
like
about what I'm going through.
Reaching up towards the stars. Sky.
Sky. Star, sky.
Sky. Oh, my God. Sky, lol. No comment.
And on that note...
Speaking of companies, So we say all that to say, next week we'll be talking about stands.
That's a different type of stand as well, actually, technically.
Yeah, exactly.
Standing for work.
Even the TB Joshua, their man was stands too.
It's a full circle moment.
Stands everywhere.
We can only hope that the Coke run is still going, because so there'll be new content.
No, I hope it's over, because is it all over your TL? Yeah, it is. Well, bits of it. Like, I've not actively searched out any of this.
Yeah.
I just keep... It comes to me. And for it to get to me and be, like, so prevalent, that means it's never ending.
It's crazy. It's actually crazy. We're on day 4, I think it is. Zero response.
This is so
sad. It's definitely drugs.
There's nothing to say.
But it's like...
Yeah, but even if it's drugs, like, you can't really get clean... or get help if you don't think anything is wrong. Like, why would I go, like, for now I feel like I'm fine, why would I go and
it's like the people that stan that person, I can see why they do, and they build their personality off of her.
But it's really dangerous, because if you really actually, like, love and care about this person as you so claim to by being a stan, like, surely you take a step back and you go, okay, yeah, like, maybe your queen needs...
But that would be accountability. Come on.
Well, yeah, well, there you go then. There, that's true. Go. That's it's not something they're
familiar
with.
I'm so happy that I don't stand anyone.
You are,
I stand myself. I'm a stand of
I stand myself, honestly. I stand myself.
Like, who gonna love me but me, like me?
And then it's like, I don't require really anything from, I don't really require validation from people. Yeah. Like, it's cool, you know, like, yeah, great, I agree. It's more of a I agree sort of thing. Like, yeah,
I mean,
you're right.
You are on
a whole
different level. You're on a different level on your own, but yeah, I'm somewhere in the middle.
I'd rather stand myself than someone else.
100%. And on that note, toodles.
Yeah, I need to eat. I'm so hungry.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.